This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we'll begin today with the latest in our series on the future of student testing in Massachusetts.
In 3 weeks, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education will decide whether the state will continue using its current test, the MCAS, switch to PARC, which is aligned with the new Common Core curriculum, or merge the two in a so-called MCAS 2.0.
In a moment, we'll hear from the Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education, Mitchell Chester, who favors that last idea. But first, a short while ago, we spoke with the state Secretary of Education, James Pizer, about his views on the future of student testing in Massachusetts.
The idea that the commissioner put forward of an MCAS 2.0, I think, is the right direction for us to head. And basically, you know, the position we're in here is I think MCAS has been a solid assessment that has served the Commonwealth very well for the past 20 years, but it needs to be improved if we're to take teaching and learning to the next level. PARC, on the other hand, has many advantages to MCAS, both in form and content, but it too has some shortcomings. So in order to keep our position as a national leader in student achievement, it makes sense for us to think about sort of having the best of both worlds here by developing a hybrid MCAS 2.0.
I want to ask you a little more about this and put it in the context of news out today, the nation's report card in education from the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It ranked Massachusetts top in the nation, but it seems like this also suggests just how much is at stake here as you consider a new mode of student assessment. And I'm wondering if you worry that scrapping the MCAS might be messing with success.
Well, I think the MCAS, as I said, has served us very well and has been a major part of how we got to this point in terms of leading the nation on the NAEP results. But that doesn't mean that we should just be resting on our laurels. We can do better. We need to do better. If you look at a variety of data points, our improvement over time has really stagnated. We have some significant gaps between groups and between communities. We have a long way to go to make sure all of our children are not only well-educated, you know, in terms of the traditional achievement measures, but also in terms of readiness for college and career and success in life.
Mm. One more question. I want to ask you about what President Obama said over the weekend. He called for limiting the amount of classroom time spent on testing. And yesterday on this show, Meghna talked to a couple of teachers who echoed concerns around that. Are you worried about the amount of time spent on high-stakes testing? And if so, how do we strike the proper balance there?
I mean, there's no question that we need to make sure we're balancing the need for data with the need for maximizing instructional time. There's no doubt about that. There tends to be, I think, a general conventional wisdom that all testing is kind of inherently wasteful and that the more time we spend testing kids, the more time we're wasting that could be spent on instruction. But when done right, the data and the information that is produced by well-constructed assessments is tremendously important in terms of informing overall instruction and curriculum, but also in terms of identifying where individual students need extra help and what kind of help they need. In the absence of having that information, it's not that teachers are operating in the dark completely, but it does mean that they don't have all the information they need to make the best choices and decisions for their students.
All right. That's James Pizer. He's the Secretary of Education for the state of Massachusetts. Secretary Pizer, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Great. My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's turn now to another key player in this debate. You heard his name mentioned earlier. He's Mitchell Chester, Commissioner for Elementary and Secondary Education in Massachusetts, and the person who will be putting forward a recommendation to the state board on which test to adopt. Commissioner Chester, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon, Meghna. Glad to be with you.
It's great to have you. So let's first start off with this question of MCAS 2.0, some kind of blend between MCAS and the new PARC assessment. Is that what you'll be recommending to the board come mid-November?
Yeah, I said three things to the state board. I said, first of all, as strong as MCAS has been and as well as it has served Massachusetts, we gave it last spring for the 18th year in a row. It's stale. It's not up to date. It hasn't raised our aspirations in terms of the kinds of teaching and learning that we expect from our students. So it's time to move on. It's time for a next generation assessment in Massachusetts. The second thing I said is we have succeeded, along with a number of other states, in developing a high quality, forward looking, more ambitious next generation assessment with the so-called PARC, P-A-R-C-C, assessment. And the third thing I said is let's build our next generation assessment in Massachusetts using the best of what we have already developed through the PARC assessment. assessment project, as well as taking elements of MCAS that are strong.
Okay. So I am curious, though, because much earlier this year, back in January, there was a Boston Foundation forum, and you said that one of the things that excited you about the PARC test is that it measures application and critical thinking, and that PARC has the potential of, quote, being an assessment that's worth teaching, too, and that you were hopeful that PARC would be that kind of next-generation assessment for Massachusetts. MCAS 2.0 is quite a bit different from a full-throated endorsement of PARC, so what made you change your tune?
Yeah, this is anything but backing off of PARC. I think the development we've done, in fact, has been successful in creating an assessment that requires students to demonstrate critical thinking, to read multiple perspectives on a given topic, to write not just for their personal opinion, but to draw from what others have said about a topic, applying math skills. There's no question it's been successful in that regard, but as we move forward with the development from PARC, with the elements of MCAS that are strong, we need to make sure that the assessment we give in Massachusetts makes full sense for Massachusetts, that we're in control of the decisions around it. So this is not a rejection of PARC. It's how do we build on the assessment development we've done to move our testing program in Massachusetts to the next generation.
Okay, so I want to get that into a little bit more detail about that. But first, let's just face something head on. I mean, you are the chairman of the governing board in charge of designing and implementing PARC across the country. Some people have pointed out that you have an inherent conflict of interest here and shouldn't even be part of this decision in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I have one interest only, and that's providing the strongest possible educational program for Massachusetts students. And that's why Massachusetts engaged in the PARC Assessment Development Project. It was an opportunity to build a next-generation assessment at a time when the recession was not allowing us to do new development in Massachusetts by ourselves using the state's funds. So we took advantage of that opportunity with the intent that it would serve Massachusetts and only serve Massachusetts if we were going to go down that road. So I don't see any conflict at all. My first and foremost goal is what's going to serve Massachusetts well, what's going to best provide our teachers and our students with the kind of feedback on where they're getting the job done, where they're not, what the kind of learning targets are, what the kind of student performances are that are needed to be successful in the 21st century.
I mean, so I take your point, but for people out there who say who don't want any part of PARC because in part they don't want any part of Common Core, I feel like they're still a little suspect about the fact that PARC may be making some sort of permanent, finding its some sort of permanent place in Massachusetts schools.
Well, the outline that I presented to the state board last week was one in which we would make decisions about what aspects of our current assessment, MCAS, and what aspects of the new development with PARC would form the basis for our next generation test here in Massachusetts. We'll be in control of those decisions. We'll have teachers, administrators, parents, higher education faculty informing what the shape of that assessment should be, which elements from which assessments should be part of that development.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little bit deeper because that gets to some things that other folks have been saying, because I'm sure you know Tom Scott, right? He's the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents, and he has said that he believes MCAS 2.0 is basically PARC in another name.
No, well, you know, again, I don't want to reject the development that's been done with PARC just because it's development that was done with PARC. I want to make sure that we're being smart about taking advantage of this development that our teachers were part of. We had hours and hours of hundreds of Massachusetts educators who participated in the design of PARC, in the tryout of PARC, in the development of PARC, and in the standards around PARC. And so this is very much our test. We built it with other states. And so I don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater here because we want to reject something that that we participated in with other states. But having said that, I want to be sure that as we go forward, we have the running room, we have the discretion to make changes as warranted. There may be aspects of PARC that we think are not well designed. There may be aspects of PARC that we think need augmentation, where we think there's things that should be assessed that we don't see in PARC. So at the end of the day, we want a next generation assessment that builds on the best of what's out there and adds to it, subtracts to it as it makes sense for Massachusetts.
Forgive me for pushing you on this a little further, but I'm trying to use my critical thinking skills here, okay, as we want students in Massachusetts schools to do. But a lot of people have referenced, for example, the state of Louisiana, which abandoned PARC officially, but then wanted to create its own test, but used a contractor that's sourcing questions through PARC. I mean, I was looking at a Boston Globe editorial that basically said, so Louisiana says it's got its own test, much as if we're hearing from you vis-a-vis Massachusetts, but it's essentially PARC, just by a different name.
Yeah, so again, I'm not trying to disguise anything that we're doing here. I'm trying to be very straightforward. We've participated in the development of the PARC assessment. We need to take advantage of the things that make sense from PARC as part of our next generation assessment. And I'm not disguising that in any way, right? Ultimately, it has to be an assessment that makes sense for Massachusetts, that meets our needs, it sets the highest standards, that requires students to think and apply their understandings and their knowledge. And that's the assessment that we need. And PARC can be a basis for that, can provide a lot of the material for that. But it would surprise me if at the end of the day we didn't want to make some changes to that, some refinements, some augmentations.
Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks, because I think there's a fundamental question here that makes this obviously such an impassioned conversation in Massachusetts specifically. I mean, you heard Anthony earlier ask Secretary Pizer about the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and Massachusetts comes out on top, right? And so that made me think of something that Jim Sturgis, executive director of the Pioneer Institute and frequent Radio Boston guest, wrote in the Boston Globe. He says, adopting PARC locks Massachusetts, the nation's education leader, into inferior education standards. Common Core may help some low-performing states, but it is too low a bar for Massachusetts.
Yeah, so we won't be locked into anything, first and foremost. Second of all, the standards that we have are standards that our educators helped us develop. They are very high and very strong bar, a very forward-looking set of standards. So if there are things that don't make sense and that we need to refine, we certainly can do that. We are not locked into anything. That's the whole reason that I presented to the board this idea of moving forward, building on what's already been developed, but customizing to make sure that it maintains the highest standards for Massachusetts.
Okay, so specifically, I mean, PARC is supposed to be a 21st century assessment tool that really assesses readiness for college and careers. It's built into the name of the test, right? But a study we found commissioned by the State Executive Office of Education found that PARC and MCAS were basically equally predictive of first-year college grades. So I'm wondering, what do you think PARC actually does better than MCAS does right now?
Yeah, PARC has a very different set of expectations around the content students will learn and the kind of performances that will qualify for advanced scores. What that study showed was doing better on either test, doing better on MCAS or doing better on PARC, predicts that you're probably going to do better in your college-level courses. Doing worse on either test means that you're probably not going to do as well on your college-level courses. So it's what the statisticians say call correlated. The results on the tests are correlated with likely outcomes in college. But that says nothing about what it takes to do well on one test versus the other. And there's very clear and distinct differences between them. Mm. The MCAS 10th grade test was designed as a 10th grade test. Many people would argue that at best it's about an 8th grade level of expectation. The PARC high school tests were designed as end of Algebra 2, end of Algebra 1, end of geometry tests. They are much higher bar in terms of the kind of content and the kind of performance that students are expected to demonstrate.
Mm. So, Commissioner Chester, we know we have to let you go in just a couple minutes. So I've just got a couple more quick questions for you. First of all, Let's just talk about money briefly. I mean, how much is it going to cost the state to move to any sort of new testing regime?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at issues of cost, and certainly any kind of upgrades that we do. And I'm not recommending going back to MCAS as it exists now. I think that's a step backward. It is going to require some investment on the state's part. To the extent that we can build on what's already been developed, that lowers that cost. And again, that's one of the reasons why I'm very interested in building on the park development that's been done so far.
Mm. So this big decision is coming as many states are opting out of Common Core and they're not going to administer park as well. I mean, we recall that in New York State, 175,000 students individually opted out of taking park just this year, in part because the failure rate on the park test was so high, and a lot of students and families really rebelled against that. So I'm wondering, I mean, we've read that some educators are worried that the park consortium could relax what the failure rate is actually on the test to make the test more politically palatable. I mean, is that a possibility? And if so, what are we really measuring then?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an important question. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to be in control of our testing program as we go forward, so that if, in fact, other states that are joined with us in developing assessments, in setting standards, want to lower the bar, we don't have to make that decision. We're on our own in this regard. There's a lot of misinformation out there, Meghna. So, for example, New York State did not give park, and it's widely understood that they did give park. They did not. They developed their own test and administered their own test. So there's quite a bit of misinformation out there. It's worth telling your listeners and reminding your listeners why we went down this road as a nation around Common Core and around these common assessments. And it goes back to prior to the Obama administration even being elected to the president being elected as president, when a bipartisan group of governors and my counterparts as chief state school officers said it makes no sense in the 21st century, where jobs and opportunity are so portable across state boundaries and national boundaries, for 50 different states to have 50 different definitions of what it means to be literate, right, and what it means to know math, and then for 50 different states to have 50 different assessments and 50 different bars for what it means to do well enough.
Except that's worked great in Massachusetts. I mean, it's back to what Jim Sturgis said. Like,
well, we can't.
Why regress towards the mean to help the low-performing states?
And Jim's right. We will not regress toward the mean. We absolutely will not, and we've been very careful about that, and that's part of the reason I laid out a path forward to the state board that makes sure that we're in control of where we go as a state, but that we build on the best of what's out there. And we've been part of developing that.
So building on the best, that's my last question for you, because I wonder, overall, isn't this a moment, a rare moment, where we could actually think beyond testing, you know, like really rethink what it means to have successful teaching and learning? Because in the past, I know you've said that MCAS is a strong tool when it was developed, but there is the tendency to maybe teach to the test. We might have that same outcome with PARC. I mean, couldn't we have used this moment to rethink education in Massachusetts in a big, bold way overall?
You know, I think we're headed in that direction, Meghna, and you're right. I mean, it is time to upgrade our assessment system so it sends more advanced signals about what we expect in terms of teaching and learning. One of the neat things about the PARC assessment, which can be given online, there's a paper and pencil component also, is if you watch a young person take a test online, it's a qualitatively different experience than taking a paper and pencil test. Online, they can manipulate things on the screen. There's video and audio along with text that the students encounter. Students report on a 2-to-1 margin that it's a much stronger, better, more engaging experience. They prefer it on a 2-to-1 margin. And what the online environment opens the door to is thinking about more modularized assessments that can be given more on demand in the course of instruction and less of an event where you stop for a week in April or a week in May to give a test to the whole school. And so I think that we're headed in that direction toward that possibility, still in the future, but we're taking our steps in that direction.
Although yesterday we did have a math teacher on who said that Park is great at teaching computer skills, but she was a little dubious about its ability to measure math skills, though.
Well, every indication I'm getting from people who have paid attention to the test is that we've succeeded in developing a very high-quality assessment in both English language arts and in mathematics. So, again, I want to take advantage of what's working and what's been done well and add to that as we see the need to do that.
Well, Mitchell Chester is the Commissioner for Elementary and Secondary Education in Massachusetts. Really great to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Meghna.
And if you want to hear our conversation with those teachers I was talking about on testing, go to radioboston.org. And tomorrow we'll continue our series on MCAS versus Park, and we'll take your calls. Join us then.
Stay with us. Coming up, a new report from the state takes the Department of Children and Families to task for its handling of the Billabong case. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.